You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello and welcome back to the only 7-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is Indie Wrestling Radio. I am your co-host, the Sly One, Jordan Fox, and with me as always, your Floyd and Savior, my Floyd and Savior, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. Floyd, what's happening, bro?
Man, we had a big wrestling weekend this weekend, watched a lot of wrestling, got a little bit more news. The Being the Elite dropped this morning. It was like we got something every day. Tonight we get the first new episode of Raw of the year. It's a big weekend.
Oh, dude, well, let's start. I didn't even think about BTE dropping this morning. I haven't watched it.
Literally just dropped.
Oh, have you watched it yet?
Yeah, I watched it, yeah.
Okay, did they give anything more about AWE or AEW or...
It was pretty much just a goodbye to New Japan, and now Kenny's clock started ticking.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, hey, why don't we start with that then? That's one of the things... Well, real quick, let me say that this is the first episode in our new half-hour format. We're going to... we spoke to thechairshot.com, and with both of our schedules being crazy busy right now, and then I've also bumped up to working out in the ring an extra day every week. I'm going to start doing some one-on-one sessions with a great wrestler out of Texas. So, but we want to continue doing 5 days a week, so we kind of condensed our show for the time being down to a half hour instead of almost 90 minutes is what we was doing every single day for basically the past, 8 months. So we're going to take it down for a half hour. May be permanent, may not be permanent. We'll just have to see. But for right now, we're going to do half hour. So this is our first episode like that. But with that, I want to start off with where you think Kenny Omega is going to end up, because you said on BTE his clock is ticking. They did have a press conference or an interview, whatever you want to call it, where he pretty much said, like you said, that he did not want to be under Tanahashi's leadership, so he's taking a break from New Japan. But do you have any speculation why he's taking a break, where he's going to end up, anything like that?
Nothing. Okay, based on the Being Elite, now that they're playing the storyline of Kenny deciding into their show, there's nothing. No one can convince me he's not signing
with AEW.
AEW, yeah.
Okay.
I think, and this is speculation. I don't know them, but I think when they decided on AEW. Remember Cody said, no matter what we're doing, we're sticking together. That was the big thing. No matter what they're doing, they're sticking together. And I think the whole thing with AEW, I believe it was an all or nothing type proposition.
I got
you. Either they were going to all go to AEW, or they were all going to sign with the WWE and just try to make as much money as they can. And I think they're just going to all stick with AEW.
Okay. See, my kind of theory on it was, and you're convincing me almost every single day that my theory was off, but when Cody said, you know, we're going to do it all together or not at all, I kind of just thought he meant them three, just him and the Young Bucks. So, but you think it was more with Marty Scurll, Hangman Page, and Kenny Omega as well?
Yeah, I think it's all inclusive just because, simply put, Cody is he's more in the producer, backstage executive producer role. That's what he wants to do. He'll work, he'll put people over if he thinks that's the best for the story. But the ace of their company, the ace of the elite, is Kenny Omega.
Right, right.
He is in the, I mean, at All In, technically, Cody had the higher profile match because it was for the NWA title. But who was the semi-main event?
Yeah, yeah. It
was, Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
They push him as the wrestler of the group. I mean, and I don't think that's a, you know, that's not a secret. I'm not telling anybody something most people don't know. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right. Yeah, that, like I said, that I'm you're convincing me more and more every day that that I was wrong, and it's more about the six guys instead of just the three. And it is those six, right? Am I missing anybody?
Yeah. No, I mean, if you count Brandy, it's seven, but because she signed. But yeah, it's the six guys. It's like they decided together, and they're like, you know, we can probably go make a crap ton of money with the WWE. We could probably still do what we're doing right now with ROH and New Japan. Or we can build our own thing, and we are big enough stars. I love Cody. You know how I feel about Cody.
Right, right.
I don't think Cody, the Bucks, Paige, and Marty Scurll are enough to build your company on. You need that ace, especially in the world of work rate that we have.
Uh-huh.
You need Kenny Omega.
Yeah, I agree. And especially if Cody is not going to be a central point on camera, right? Like, you're theorizing that.
No, I think he's gonna work. I just think he's gonna use his area. He's not gonna be ever. I mean, he might be world champion at AEW ever. Maybe Kenny gets injured, but I think his purpose will be to put people over.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you think he's probably gonna have a more prominent backstage role than on stage role, right? So if he is going to be primarily working backstage for, you know, if he's going to put most of his skill set to use behind the camera, which will be awesome, because I would love to see the kind of artistic freedom, you know, with artistic freedom, what he can come up with. But yeah, I agree. You're going to need someone that will main event shows, you know what I mean? And I don't know if Hangman Page is that guy, you know. Yet, you know, he could very well, he's so young, he very well could be. Marty Scurll could be, you know, but Kenny Omega is there, you know, so you might as well strike while the iron's hot, because you can't main event every single show with a Young Bucks tag team match. I mean, they never put on a bad match, but at some point, you know, you need other stars besides the tag team, so... Yeah,
and as they said, they've been going hard for 10 years, you know, and they, you know, they have a very athletic, very kind of hard, you know, style.
Right.
So it's just like there's only a certain amount of time you can go. And the point with WCW, it was like, I mean, AEW wants to be two, so they're going to get a lot of comparisons to the WCW. The thing that WCW didn't do well was build stars. I think Paige is like, if Kenny is the ace, I think Paige is the one they want to push next. But then they need people outside of the company. There, maybe they build up MJF because he's young. Maybe Brian Pillman Jr. at some point in time. They're going to have to start looking. You know, when you're starting to build a brand, of course the elite is going to be your focus probably the first 6 months to a year. But you have to start developing talent and, you know, building up names.
Yeah, yeah, I totally get that. So you think, if you had to put a percent on what you think Kenny Omega is going to sign with AEW, is it 100% or is it like 95?
It's like 95.
Okay.
Because I think they are friends enough if the WWE gets stupid. Like, creative control, guaranteed title reigns, big spot at WrestleMania, start offering him the world, I think they would tell him to go. They were like, we'll figure it out.
Right, right. I could see that.
Because it's just, there's money. There's money, and then there's stupid money.
Yeah.
There's, you know, there's like Kirk Cousins with the Minnesota Vikings and the money. He didn't get the money because he was one of the best quarterbacks or elite quarterback in the NFL. He got his money because he was the best available.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so Kenny Omega, might not, you know, he's a great wrestler, you know, he's a draw, but he's not honestly a mega draw. Like, let's, you know, he's not like a Hogan or a CM Punk or a mega draw like that, but he's a big name in professional wrestling. But right now, he's the big name available. Their goal, in essence, is to squash the competition. The only way they're going to be able to squash the Elite is to take one of their own. And how desperate are they to do that?
Right, right. Well, it's going to be fun to watch, because I think I'm going to be on board with you. I think I'm in agreement with you that if they have a Kenny clock on BTE, you're going to be hard pressed to convince me that they're counting down for him to sign with WWE. You know what I mean?
Countdown to him putting over WWE. Just be stupid.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Well, I want to, real quick, we're not going to do a full review of Wrestle Kingdom 13. I am going to get what your thoughts are on the whole show, and then we're going to talk about the co-main event and the main event. But I do want to send everyone over to hear the latest episode of Around the Ring with our boy Floyd Johnson Jr. and Ryan Aaron. They did a full review of the show. It was absolutely awesome. Y'all go check it out. They also had a Mean Gene Okerlund tribute, which I thought was awesome as well. So y'all definitely go check that out to hear the full review of Wrestle Kingdom 13. But what was your overall thought of Wrestle Kingdom 13? What did you rate the show from top to bottom? And to also tell us your favorite match, too. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but go ahead and tell us your favorite match as well.
I gave the show an A+, right?
Oh, okay,
I've given every Wrestle Kingdom, it's the best wrestling show in the United States most years. It's one or two. Yeah. Like last year, it was like, I think on my list, it was like three. So it's a great show. It's the best wrestling show. If you like pure wrestling, it's the show. So it was a great show. What I rated highest and my favorite match were two different things. I rated Omega and Tanahashi as a 5-star match just because it was perfect. I always say this about 5-star matches. If I can't think of anything I would have done to improve the match, it's a 5-star.
Right, right.
I thought Omega and Tanahashi was perfect. I didn't like the ending, but as far as New Japan doing business, it was the best thing for them.
Yeah.
Because you can't put the title on Kenny Omega and then try to negotiate with him.
Right, yeah, of course.
You're putting yourself in a losing option. You're then forcing yourself to maybe give the title to somebody else you don't want to. They are controlling the narrative. It makes sense Kenny Omega loses the belt. So, 5 stars. I give it to him. But my favorite match was Okada versus Jay White.
Really?
There was a sequence. You watched it, right?
Yeah.
There was that sequence towards the end where they were reversing and reversing and reversing and reversing. Okada finally hits the spinning clothesline. He then sets up for the Rainmaker. Jay White into the switchblade or the Blade Runner, and that's how he wins the match.
Yeah.
That to me was just, that was beautiful. I mean, to me, it's like, for me, I know every match can't end like that, but I would love every match to end like that.
Yeah, I got you.
But just because it came somewhat out of nowhere, and then it was definitive. In that moment, Jay White was better than Okada. Now, I could see them having that same thing later on this year or another time, that same 30-second stretch, not, you know, with slight differences, and Okada actually hitting the Rainmaker and winning. That's how close it was. To me, it's more definitive than a roll-up victory, but it's kind of like a roll-up victory. I was better than you at that moment.
Right, right. Yeah, it was an absolutely phenomenal match. Real quick, what did you think about Cody versus Juice Robinson?
Love me some Cody. He was obviously hurt.
Right.
Him and Juice. The booking was to put Juice over definitively. If you listened to my preview on Around the Ring, I said that's how it had to be.
Yeah.
I said it had to be definitive because Cody was going away. You're building, you're taking Juice up to that next level. It has to be Juice is better than Cody.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really happy with Cody. You know, of course, I'm never happy when Cody loses, but I think he did business. And then people was like, oh, it wasn't that great a match. It wasn't supposed to be. It was supposed to be a glorified squash match, and it was.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't look like Cody got a hell of a lot of offense in, but like you said, it was supposed to be Juice Robinson getting his and coming out extremely dominant and have a good run with the U.S. title, correct?
Yeah.
That's how you took it, right?
Yeah, I gave it the Gentleman's Three. It was like the Jay Lethal and Cody match. It was, I mean, Jay Lethal pretty much, he had like 70% of the offense in that match.
Right.
I mean, Cody, that was Cody's last match with ROH. This is Cody's last contracted match with New Japan. You know, you go out, I mean, he's very old school in his logic. You go out on your back. That's what you do.
Yeah, yeah, he's definitely old school in that aspect. And I dig that. I dig that. Yeah. So what about our boy Chris Jericho taking on Naito? Man, I love this match. I want to hear what you had to do, what you thought about it first, though.
You know what? It never grabbed my attention.
What? Wow, that's crazy.
I mean, there were some great spots. The whole him looking at the Intercontinental belt that he hated and needing the Intercontinental belt to finish the match. I understand the storyline. I understand it. It just never caught me.
What didn't catch you was it the athleticism in it, because it was kind of, you know.
No, and I enjoyed the street fight aspect of it.
Oh, okay.
What I didn't like, I think, is I went in, and this is on me. Like, I've seen people rate this that I respect, rate this 4.5, 4.75 stars. People I respect, especially on the Grapple app. So they rate it high. Me, it didn't pull me in more because even my preview, I said, I just feel like it's going to be Jericho beats the shit out of Naito, and Naito hits the Destino and wins the match. And that kind of what it was.
Well, I mean, there was some good back and forth, though. But yeah, I see your point.
Like I said, it's not. It didn't grab me. That's what I'm telling people.
I got you.
I am saying my rating is probably wrong because it's just a personal, you know, how I felt about it. It didn't grab me. It felt to me a lot like the Kenny Omega match. I felt like I was watching a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. I really liked it. You know, I'm not discounting what you're saying because I could definitely see.
And that's what I'm like. I want you. You know what I mean? I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad everyone that liked it. It's just one of those matches. It might not, you know, land. Like, I generally like a Cody match way more than other people like it.
Yeah.
That's the thing about ratings. They're all subjective. It's what you like.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that. Man, how, dude, Chris Jericho's almost 50 years old, and he just went in there and had a street fight with a guy that's, what, 10 years younger than him, if not 15 years younger than him. I should have looked up how old Naito is. But Naito's at least probably one of the top 10 best wrestlers in the world right now.
Yep.
And Jericho went in there and held his own, made him look amazing himself. I mean, Is he ageless? Is Chris Jericho the ageless man in wrestling right now?
He does a good job of, and this is what it is. If Chris Jericho was week to week, you know, it probably wouldn't be that great, you know?
Right.
Because he's older. But he picks his spots. He gets in great shape. He uses that 30-year wrestling mind that he has, and he puts in together a good match, and he goes out there and delivers every time. No one could tell me that was, like, if someone said, man, that was a bad match, I'd be like, you don't know wrestling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It was, I mean, he put on a great performance. Like I said, just because it doesn't necessarily, you know, it didn't really get me super excited, that doesn't mean, because I think I liked the Okada-Jay White match more than most other people did.
Yeah, yeah. What did most people rate? Did you look to see what
I have the Grapple app in front of me. Yeah.
Yeah. What did most people rate the Jay White versus Okada match?
It was right at a 4, and okay. I had it at 4.5.
Okay. What about?
So I was about a half point higher than everyone else.
Got you. What about the Chris Jericho Naito match?
I think it was almost at 4.75. Hold on just a second. I'm bringing it up right now. And I am using the Grapple app. They don't sponsor us or anything, but it's Grapple. It's on the Play Store and on iTunes. It's just, or what's it called? The Apple Store? Is that what the thing is?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get it on either one of those, and it gives you a lot of composites on what you can do as far as wrestling scores. So I will tell you that it is great to have, like, as far as for this show, it's great to use as a, okay, I rated it this. Was I higher, lower? What did you think about it? So I'm on Wrestle Kingdom 13. They actually uploaded this right as it was going on. And Naito and Jericho was 4.44, so it was almost at 4.5. And it has went down a little bit since yesterday.
It has.
So
okay.
you are getting a few more ratings. Jay White and Okada is at 4.2. It actually went up a little since yesterday.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah, Omega and Tanahashi is at 4.8. So, you know, it's like, yeah, you always are going to have that person, you know, that rates something a little bit lower. Like, Juice Robinson and Cody's at 2.27.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's not even getting a 2.5 right now.
I got you. But yeah, and I could see that. But like you said, you know, it wasn't, that match wasn't meant to be, you know, just a barn burner. It was meant to really get Juice Robinson over in the eyes of New Japan fans. Let's talk about the main event now. Let's talk about Tanahashi, excuse me. Tanahashi taking on Kenny Omega. I'm so glad that it did not come out. And, you know, and I kind of shielded myself, so other people might not feel the same way as me. But I really believed that Kenny Omega was going to go over in this match. I did not think Kenny Omega was leaving necessarily. Did you, going into this match, did you think that Kenny Omega was going to win? Did you think he was going to leave New Japan?
Or, I've been Tanahashi for about 3 weeks.
Okay. tell me about, let's talk about the match first. What'd you think about the match? Would you rate it? Is there anything you would have changed about it?
Perfect score. Nothing I would have changed about it. If I wanted to go for 5.5, I probably would have went Tanahashi, maybe hitting one more. Like, he hit that last high fly flow. If he went up like he did with a Bushi and hit it even one more time, you know, just to really put Kenny away definitively,
right.
I would have dug that. But I thought the match was perfect. It built. It was like most of, like, to me with Tanahashi and Okada, they start off kind of slow and it builds and it builds and it builds. They started off kind of fast. This match, I could watch it right now because it felt like a very quick 37 minutes. It did not feel as long as it was, and it was very impact. And Kenny Omega slowed down the Tanahashi style. He didn't try to make Tanahashi work that breakneck speed. I mean, even on the V-triggers, I think he only threw 3.
Yeah, that was kind of shocking. I was expecting like 15 of those son of a guns, you know what I mean?
And that's what you expect against Okada. That's what you get against Okada and people that get, honestly, people that can physically keep up with Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega pretty much, I wouldn't even say toned it down, but, you know, he knew the limitations of the person that he was working with.
Yeah.
But, and you know, Tanahashi's more about storytelling, the physical storytelling of wrestling. And I felt like this was like, if you wanted to say, hey, I need a match that's a perfect mix of 80s traditional wrestling and what people expect now as far as indie wrestling, I thought this was the perfect in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I could totally see that. I love the match myself. Like I said, I was not expecting, and you know, and I was probably being a little bit naive because if you, you know, thinking back on it, all these big names, you know, they're starting their own wrestling promotion with AEW. They're going to do All In, Double or Nothing. Like, if you really think about it, you know, you got to figure that Kenny is probably going to go with them. But at the same time, I was kind of thinking, you know, like, dude, he's the heart and soul of the foreigners in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Like, I just can't imagine him leaving, you know? Like, he's intertwined himself in the Japanese culture, you know, he practically speaks the language fluently, like, and I just imagined him staying, man. As soon as they announced AEW, did you imagine that Kenny was going?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I am a friends person. I am a loyalty person. I'm all about that. So I couldn't imagine Cody and the Bucks saying, we can start a company without Kenny.
Yeah, I see that.
I feel like they're a family. They did everything as a family. Paige turned down a WWE contract. That was, you know, all the people turned down WWE contracts. You know, with Cody, they announced Brandy's the chief brand officer of the company. It's just, it's a family affair. Mrs. Matt is going to be over merchandising. The
Mrs.
same thing
who?
She's been. Mrs. Matt.
Matt Jackson.
Jack Jackson's wife. Okay. They just call her Mrs. Matt. She has a shirt that says Mrs. Matt. And, no, she's going to be over merchandising. It's a family affair, and I just think Kenny's going to have a lot to say with the product. He's probably going to have, how they tell stories. He's probably going to have a lot to say as far as training and stuff like goes. I mean, they're doing this because there are going to be the voices of the show.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, talking to you about it, like, it seems crazy to think that Kenny Omega wouldn't be going. But just at the time, I was just like, man.
I think Kenny Omega wants that to happen. They want it to seem like the way they're doing it, letting Kenny get recruited and all that stuff, they want to seem like he spurned a WWE for AEW.
Yeah.
Even though this was already decided, to me, this was already decided back when, you know, August or whatever. October, as soon as All In went off without a hitch, they're like, okay, you know, we should do this, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, I get that.
His home is Japan, and it's very much come out that AEW wants that working relationship with Japan. I don't know if Japan wants that working relationship with AEW, but I will tell anyone this. And anyone can argue with me on any New Japan show if you want to. Mm-hmm. The Elite sold out Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are like, well, they sold out without the name on the marquee. No one was paying attention to the name on the marquee.
Yeah.
The Elite was tied to that show so that they went out and bought tickets. You can tell because the more and more you hear about the Elite not being on the show, the less the secondary market ticket prices are going down. People are selling their tickets for less than they bought them.
Oh, really? They're taking a hit on them, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean,
that's crazy, man.
The Elite's fan base is rabid. And if you tell me we're going to do a whole show and the Elite's not going to be there, yeah. I'm not gonna say it's still gonna be sold out. There's still gonna be a lot of people. Still gonna be rapid fan base. I'm gonna be there, you know,
right,
trying to decide who my new favorite New Japan wrestler is. Very, I don't know. I even sent it to my the show Super J-Cast. I asked them there for their suggestions. So if you're listening to the show and you have a suggestion on who my new favorite New Japan wrestler should be, like. Yeah, because I
tweet it to us.
Yeah, tweet it to us. Because I came for Kenny. Kenny and Okada was being built, like, huge, to the point where I heard about it in America. And then, you know, I heard Cody was going to be on the show. It's the only reason I ever turned in on a New Japan pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Cody and Kenny.
Yeah,
and
I can
now,
see it.
I didn't even know who Okada was, honestly.
Yeah,
I
learned
his name. I knew he had won awards, but I'd never seen an Okada match.
No, I agree. My first Okada match was Wrestle Kingdom 12. That was when I was introduced to New Japan. I'm a pretty much a newbie, and I've enjoyed it very, very much since then. You know what I mean? We have just a few minutes left. We talked before we went on the air this morning that you wanted to talk about a particular match that you really wanted to put over that you watched over the weekend. Let's talk about this match.
I try to be generous on 5 stars, but I gave out another 5-star. And honestly, I think it was a better match. Last night on Impact Homecoming. It was on pay-per-view. I actually went ahead and dropped a $50 on the pay-per-view. Woo! For this match. It was LAX versus the Lucha Brothers, which is Pentagon and Rey Fénix. In my mind, I feel like this was going to be the last time we see this match, because I've heard about the bidding wars between Pentagon and Fénix. You know, basically WWE and AEW are bidding on those two right now. So I figured this was going to tell a lot. It was like, if the Lucha Brothers won, I feel like they probably signed back with Impact. If they lost, I figured they're either going WWE or AEW. So when it came down to it, I was expecting greatness, because LAX is one of my favorite tag teams, and it hit on every mark. It was probably one of the most exciting matches I've ever seen, as far as tag team. It was not your traditional tag team match, which is, I do like traditional tag team wrestling. This was more of a AAA Lucha style tag team match, but it was freaking amazing. It was nonstop action. It was a sprint, some moves and double teams I'd never seen before. So that being said, and not trying to go on too long about this, if you get a chance, make sure you watch that match. All I really wanted to say about it is it is worth your time.
That's really awesome to hear about a Impact Wrestling match is getting a 5-star from you. You know what I mean? Because Impact's not something that we watch very often, but it's really cool that they're still trying to be in the mix. You know what I mean? So.
And we had history. I don't know. Do you mind being spoiled on it?
No. Tell me.
Spoiler: if you're gonna watch Impact, skip over the next 30 seconds. For the first time in wrestling history, an actively married couple are the men's and women's champion of a promotion or a major promotion.
Oh, really? What? Explain this to me.
Johnny Morrison beat Brian Cage to retain his Impact Heavyweight Champion, and Taya Valkyrie beat Tessa Blanchard to become the new Impact Women's Champion.
Wow, okay.
So man and woman are the champions, man and wife, and they both got booed really, really hard.
Really? Are they supposed to be, are they heels?
No, they are not heels.
Really? And they got booed out of the building?
They didn't get booed out of the building. It was but Taya, there was definitely boos. And it was more of a boo, and you heard a few cheers, and you kept hearing, she kind of went off like, I deserve this. You know, she was defending herself while it was going on. Johnny Impact, unfortunately, he was up against the streak of Brian Cage, and they botched the end.
How so?
So Brian Cage was going for, like, he steps on the second ropes and kind of deadlifts Morrison over, or Impact over, for a suplex.
Right.
And Impact was supposed to roll over and then roll him up or whatever and, like, slam him. And it was just, it looked very weak. It looked like not something that should end Brian Cage's streak.
Oh, man. I'm gonna have to check it out.
Unfortunately, they kind of botched the finish, and it was like, if you're going to end this streak, and that's the problem I have with streaks. And undefeated things.
The ending never seems like it should be the end.
Think about the cattle prod. I mean, the one time it was done right to me, everybody kind of crapped on, is when Charlotte just beat Asuka. To me, that's what should happen.
Yeah.
Somebody was just better than them that night. And Charlotte definitively beat Asuka. Yeah. Asuka lost. I'm okay with that.
We differ on that one. We'll talk about that another day. We'll talk about our differences in that one. Because I actually disagree with you on that one. And I have a different streak in mind that I actually would prefer over that one. So that'll have to be a topic in a future episode for us.
Yeah.
Man, I hate to see that happen to Tessa. You and I are big fans of Tessa. You've got to take several photographs with her. I was about 8 feet away, wishing that I was Floyd whenever she had her arm around Floyd. I was like, ooh, I'm jealous.
She's freaking awesome. I'm not a big Taya Valkyrie fan.
Uh-huh.
Like, as far as her in-ring work or whatever, but I mean, I don't think she's a horrible wrestler.
Right.
I don't know that by any means. And she has a name, and her and Morrison being married, that's something they know. I'm just like, I'm big on building up a long champion. That's my big thing. I'm big on long title reigns, and I think Tessa becomes a more of a heel is if you have her with that year, year and a half, no one can get the belt off of her, and then you build up your next person to eventually beat her, and that makes them bigger star. I think last night didn't help either one of the people.
Yeah, I could see that. I didn't watch the match, obviously, but I totally agree with what you're saying, so... I'll definitely have to check it out. But won't you let everyone know where you spend your weekends at before we sign off here today?
All right. You can catch us around noon on Sundays. It's up before noon. Sometimes I get it up a little earlier. But it's Around the Ring. It's on thechairshot.com. It's me and my buddy Ryan Aaron. This week we're gonna do a full review of Impact and talk about what's to come with AEW. We're getting more news. We're actually talk about AEW more on Wednesday here because we get more news tomorrow night. So I am looking forward to that.
Absolutely, man. I enjoyed the new half-hour time slot that we have for thechairshot.com. If you like it, don't like it, whatever your thought process is on it, please send us a tweet. Hit me up on Instagram. You can hit Floyd up on any social media site as well. Let us know what you think. Don't forget to tell Floyd what you think who you think his new favorite New Japan wrestler should be. And I do believe that's it. So until tomorrow, for Floyd and myself, everyone out there, stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?